want to share with you now a word from the scripture. This is the book of Philippians, Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, and it's the fourth chapter, and it'll begin here in the fourth verse. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So there's this great passage in Matthew's gospel. It's the 23rd chapter. So Jesus has just gotten back into Jerusalem. And he is really, this is kind of like his last teaching before he faces his arrest and death on the cross. And so in this last teaching, he is absolutely holding nothing back from the scribes and Pharisees. And so as he goes through this long litany of woe to the scribes and Pharisees over and over again, there's one that stood out. It's an image that I think pairs fairly well with this passage from Philippians. And this is what Jesus says. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and of the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup so that the outside may become clean. Now, part of the reason why I think this image pairs well with the word from Philippians is it's almost as if Paul is giving us a commentary on that challenge. If you take that image of a cup, the outside are the things that sort of swirl around us, what other people see, and often things that are beyond our control. And the inside are those things that can fill us up. The inside of the cup, you might say, is where our heart is. Now, we can't choose what happens around the world. We can't choose our circumstances. There's so much beyond our control. But we do have some power in what goes into our cup. We do have some power about what goes into our cup. It's really interesting when you read through that passage from Philippians 4, over and over again, Paul is, he's not talking about how people feel. He doesn't say, if you feel like it, rejoice. What he's saying is, choose to rejoice. Rejoice, he says. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Rejoicing, being full of joy, is a choice that we can make in terms of how we fill our cup. Choose joy. That passage that in verse 8, he talks about what we think about. And again, this isn't a list of ways that we can feel. It is a list of good things we can choose to put into our cup. Rejoice, he says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Think about these things. Choose to put these things into your cup. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear these kinds of things coming to me from Paul, I can feel a little bit hesitant to take them at face value. I hear him say things like this, and I'm kind of want to be like, Paul, you lived 2,000 years ago. You lived in an age without the internet. You didn't have a cell phone. You didn't have anything in your life that could distract you like they can distract us these days. You know, thanks, but you're not very applicable. It's great that you felt that way. I'm so happy, Paul, that you are free of worry. I'm so happy, Paul, that you can do, live in peace. But we live in a different era. It can almost feel like Paul is a Pollyanna. You know what I mean when I say that? The old Disney movie, 1960, and Pollyanna was this missionary's daughter. Her parents die, and then she goes to stay with her aunt, and every single thing that happens around her, she just responds with what some would describe as being almost toxically positive. Everything can be great and glad and happy, you know. And she says, you know, we don't need to read all the Bible. There's so many glad verses. We can just pull out those glad verses and focus on that all the time. And it can feel, when you hear Paul say things like, don't worry about anything, let that peace cover you, you'll be fine. It can almost feel like Paul is being a Pollyanna. But what I would say is that we have to remember one thing when we hear all of this incredible positive encouragement from Paul. We have to remember one thing, and that is this. Paul wrote these words from prison. Paul wrote these words from prison. Paul didn't deny the existence of the hard things, but facing the hard things, Paul makes a choice. Facing the hard things, Paul makes a choice. Now, pondering this scripture from Philippians over the week, especially, really pulled me in a kind of a vulnerable, real thing. So I'm going to get real with you for a minute. It made me think about having to go to the dentist. I love dentists, but I hate going to the dentist. I mean, that, and it hates a hard word, and it's not strong enough for my feelings, especially when I have to get work done. Getting a crown, like every muscle in my body just tightened up saying that word in the context of the dentist right now. The last time I went, I really was sitting in the seat, and I spent about half the time wondering, what will they do if I just run? What's going to happen? If I just dash out of here and live with the pain the rest of my life, is that going to be okay? What I realized, though, during that particular visit, I realized that I had actually gone to that visit 1,000 times. It was just the one real one, and then 999 times in my head, I went with my fearful anticipation of that visit. Now, the Pollyanna way of approaching something like the dentist would be just never go. You just don't even go to the dentist, right? That's not what we're called to do. The opposite, though, of going to the dentist 999 unnecessary times is not what we're called to do either. What I think Paul is calling us to do is to go once. Just go once. And instead of the 999 times where we allow the anxiety and the fear of what we don't want to do and the dread that you can feel, instead of letting that govern us for all the other time, let's make some different choices. Let's choose to instead focus on things like rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let's think about what is true, honorable, just, pure, pleasing, commendable, anything that's excellent, anything that's worthy of praise. Let's think about those things. One of my favorite modern phrases is that we should never let anyone live rent-free in our heads. How often do we do that? We just open up and allow something that's dark to just live in there. Paul's not telling us to deny the hard things that we see, but he is encouraging us to look those things in the eye, but look beyond them to the good things that we've been given. Now, to do that, it's not an easy thing to do. In order to be able to look at the world around us and rejoice in the midst of things that are worthy of grief, we have to have our cup full. We have to be able to have things inside of us that can help us to maintain that view. It doesn't just happen that we can just overnight choose to be a person full of joy. We need help. And part of the passage that I read to you, there's a little almost throwaway line in verse 5. It says, let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. When we realize that the Lord is near, when we practice God's presence, when we allow God in through our prayer life, through the reading of the scriptures, through our worship, God is inside us, and it changes how we're able to respond to our circumstances that swirl outside of the cup. Many men in our lives have had to face prostate cancer. It's a fairly common cancer, and fortunately, it's also a treatable cancer. And one of the treatments that's used to help people heal from prostate cancer is where they'll take a seed and implant the seed that's got radiation in it in your body near where you've got the cancer, and the radiation will help your body heal inside you. That's what we need as Christians. We need inside of us that healing power. And so that's why, like, these verses that are on these postcards I shared earlier, these are incredible. This, if we can memorize these, when we hold them in our hearts, that's what's in our heart. And if you go home and over the next week you find yourself in a circumstance where you need to remember that something bigger is wrapping you up, perhaps this verse from Colossians 3, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, will be the word that pops out for you. Or maybe you'll be in a situation where you need to remember a relationship that's got to be grounded in love. And from 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. Holding on to that word about love might be exactly what you need to hear. If you imbibe these scriptures, not just these, but God's word in general, if you live a life full of prayer, it changes who you are, what comes out, and how you see. It just does. The problem is, of course, that there's so much that comes into us. Our cups get full of so many other things different things can emanate out that we don't even mean to. You know, imagine if the greeters had been listening to some good Michael Jackson before greeting time, and a new person walks up, and the person you hear, you know, the greeter says, "Just beat it." Probably wouldn't be what you want. What if Madeline had been listening to the Doors, and as she was walking forward with the torch, kept singing, "Come on, baby, light my fire." Probably not what we want. Thank you, Madeline, for your music choices. The other day, I'm not kidding, I was listening to some music I don't usually listen to, and it was before a worship service, and somebody came up, and it was a staff member, said, "Okay, now remind me, what are we supposed to say when we deliver communion?" And the words that popped out from me were something like, "Yo mama." Can you imagine Pastor Martha, you walk up to get communion from her, and she just says, "Yo mama." Can you imagine? If we allow those kinds of things into our heart, they affect us and they come out. I'm not saying we need to get rid of secular music or those kinds of things, but I am saying if we aren't intentional about letting our hearts be filled, it changes what we say, what we do, how we act. One of my most memorable visits that I've got to do was with a man who was dying, and we prayed together. I was, you know, sent in as the pastor to pray and held hands, and we were praying. And I said a blessing and a prayer, and then I said amen, and I turned to leave. But he had my hand. And he said, I want to pray too. And so I turned back, and he prayed a blessing over me. His cup was so full that even as he was facing death, he couldn't pass an opportunity to bless someone else. The world around us is absolutely swirling, and there's so much we can't control, but there's so much we let into our cups. Don't we want to let God's presence in? We can choose what we put in. Paul reminds us we can be a people who choose to rejoice in the Lord always. We can be a people who think about whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable. We can think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And as our cup fills with these things that are good and true and holy, we are changed. And as God changes us, friends, even the swirling chaos can change too. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.